Hiya, food fans. Alton Brown here. Welcome to the Alton Brown Cast. We've got a pretty interesting show for you today, and it is going to center around an interview that you're going to want to hear, because it's an interview with a guy that is not a chef at all. He knows a good bit about food, but it's kind of interesting because he's been on just about every episode of Iron Chef America that's ever been made, despite the fact that he's not a chef and he's not Kevin Brosh. And the only time that he wasn't on Iron Chef America is when he was on Dancing with the Stars. I'm speaking, of course, of the chairman, more specifically, the actor and martial artist who plays the chairman on Iron Chef America, Mark Dacascos, who is, I got to tell you right now, one of the lovelier guys on planet Earth. And I mean that from, you know, like a, he's handsome, but I mean, the truth is he's a really, really, really great guy and father. Very, very interesting. Good actor, plays a WoFat on Hawaii Five-0. And we're going to be talking with him on the show about his experiences on Iron Chef America and what it's like being outside the food world and then suddenly very much inside the food world. And he's just a cool guy to listen to. So just stick around. So Alton Brown here. It's the Alton Brown Cast. And we're recording today from my fabulous palatial dressing room at Food Network. And I'm sitting with someone that a lot of Americans, and this must be confounding, Mark Dacascos, who I've known for a long time now.
Hello, Alton.
Hello. How many people actually stop? I mean, because you're unlike anybody else in this kind of business. You're an actor.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't have a food thing
not
before this
all.
Started, but how many people on a day-to-day basis, yes, you're probably stopped,
yes,
darn near every day in public.
Yes, sir.
What percentage of people stop you as the chairman? I want to know, because you've played a lot of great roles. You've
yes,
played
sir.
A lot of roles in movies,
no.
Scary roles, I might add.
Yes,
in movies.
Thank you.
My daughter's seen you a few times and thought, Mr. Mark scared me. She actually said that one time
well,
when she
thank
was
younger. You.
She scared me.
Thank you,
but then also a lot of TV roles, and of course, WoFat on the reboot of Hawaii Five-0.
Yes.
Okay, how many?
I would say 75% the chairman and 25% WoFat. About. Yeah. Give
yeah.
or take 1 or 2%, I would say. And they almost always ask me how my uncle is in Japan. And I kid you not, is Alton Brown really that smart?
And your answer to both is no.
No. I say, well, you know, it is a little confusing because, you know, Alton Brown on the show is Alton Brown.
This is different.
Iron Chef Morimoto, but I'm the only guy that's playing the chairman.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to like ride that line. I don't want to lie. So I just say, well, I have not seen Chairman Kaga in a long time. However, it's been forever. I've never actually seen. So I guess I am lying.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I have never seen Iron Chairman Kaga in real life. But I say that I call him uncle in honor of the show because I've taken over
go.
The show, and so it's an honor. And you know, in Asian history, you know, in Asian culture,
you
it
do
is
that.
You do that. So
I don't even know if he's still alive. Somebody told me once that he was dead, but I haven't
seriously?
Looked it up.
No, I think he's still alive,
okay.
And I think he's gone back to musical theater because. When they
he's alive and pissed off at you.
He's alive and pissed off at me, exactly.
But no, that's what he came out of, right?
Yeah, I think he was a star of Jesus Christ Superstar in Tokyo, and I hear he's very, very good. But when they invited me on the show, Alton, like you said, I have no background in the culinary arts, mm-hmm. you know, and so I actually asked my manager this when she told me that the Food Network and Triage wanted to. Talk to me about Iron Chef America and possibly being the chairman. I seriously asked her if they knew that I kicked, not cooked. You know, because, you know, you never know, lost the translation, you know what I mean? Kick, cook,
sure.
It could be the, you know. But because I do know how to kick, but cooking, oh,
yes,
no.
You do.
Oh, no, I do. Thank
yes, you.
You
do. You,
but cooking
you
is a different
well.
Thing. And so
it
I said, no, I've never gone to culinary school, and I barely cook, but I'm a very good eater. And I took the interview. Because my wife, you know, Julie, she did go to culinary school, and she loves you,
right.
By the way. She said that, you know, you have to go because that show is great. She'd watch the original.
Right.
And
now, did you turn around then and watch the original? Did
okay.
you ever do that?
This is how it happened. I was playing music or training in my little man cave.
Which I've been to, and it's pretty nice.
Thank you.
I like,
thank
you got a
thank
nice
thank
man
you,
cave,
Alden.
Man.
And I was walking through the living room, and Julie and her good friend Serena, they were watching this cooking show. And I remember distinctly that there was some instant replay of a tomato being sliced. And I stopped and I said, seriously? You're watching a guy slice a tomato? Yeah, you're watching this? And then a half an hour later, I realized I was watching it too. And that's how I got hooked on it. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding. These cooking shows are, I mean, at least this cooking show was really good. You know, and I thought, okay, the colors, the action, they shoot it almost like a martial arts competition or sporting event.
Somewhere between a sporting event, martial arts, and Godzilla.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and three things that I love.
Hey.
You know, and the quirky voiceover and everything, I thought, this is really cool. So when they said they're making an American version of this, you know, I too thought, okay, this could be completely different for me, but really interesting, and what a great life experience, because when else would I be privy to people like you and the Iron Chef? Seriously. I mean, you guys are the best of the best in this world. And I mean, wow, what a great opportunity for me to learn.
Do people ask you if about the food? What do they ask you when they want to talk to the guy who's the chairman?
Yes,
and
yes.
I know you're trying to probably not let them know that that's actually a character.
Well, you ride that line, right?
Yeah. You know. Is it you or is it just I'm a guy that does this?
They kind of want me to beat him. So
do they ask you to say it? A la cuisine.
Well, you know what they do? A lot of times they do it for me.
They say
a la cuisine, or they say broccoli themselves, you know, or beer, you know, they do that. Yeah, it's actually really cool. It's really fun.
Oh, that's very, very groovy.
It's really fun. Yeah.
Do you feel now that, like when you go to restaurants and things, are people intimidated? I mean, the chairman just walked in, and even if you're an actor, you've eaten now over however many years it's been, which I haven't counted.
Almost 10 years. I have.
Amazing cuisine.
I've learned a lot, you know, from your commentary and from the chefs. And, I mean, my palate has definitely grown, you know. And, yes, a lot of people are a little intimidated, usually very excited because they love Iron Chef America.
Does the chef ever come to the table and you say, tell us about your dish?
I should do that.
You should do that, man.
So many a time we are invited to inspect the kitchen. And I look at Julie and I go, and she goes, go with it, you know, and
just
they're so happy.
Nod.
And it's like, you know, I feed off of their energy. I mean, they're so happy to have us there and they love the show and they are proud of what they do and passionate. And I love people like that. So I'm happy. You know?
Is there any correlation between that passion and that energy that you see in chefs and what you see in martial arts?
100%. 100%.
Really?
You know, the physicality of the chairman, it comes from that, I think, that martial spirit. You know, when we were talking about the format and the personality of and his quirks and traits of the chairman, you know, I thought, well, I have not gone to culinary school, but I am passionate about martial arts and life. And I think my chairman would bring that martial spirit into the competition.
Yes.
He loves people that are passionate and creative and want to win. And I thought, you know, bring that physicality and that heart, you know, to even announcing the beginning of the match, the battle. And the producers, they seem to have liked it. And I see you smiling at me every now and then.
I get a guess because it's like I've gotten to know you. But slowly over the years, you've turned the chairman into a very you've done this very deftly into a comedic character. He's still plenty edgy, but you've made this guy real, and I really admire that. And I didn't really notice that you were doing it full on until probably about 3 years ago. I knew that you were emoting and there was a kabukiism kind of thing going there. But then he became like a guy, and we became a person. You did that.
Thank you, Alton. Well, thank you, but
sure.
We did that because a lot of times in your monologues talking about the chairman, you're building the character of the chairman. You know, we don't have, to this day, we don't have a Bible or a set biography of who this man is.
Who is this guy?
So what you say kind of sticks. It's like improv. You're saying it, so we're going with it.
What the heck?
And it's interesting because the other day you mentioned that the chairman was a running back in college.
Right.
And a couple of our own crew members
who should know better
came up to me and said, "Wow, I didn't know you played ball in college." You know, and I went, "Oh, right, Alton. Of course, Alton."
Blame me.
But it's always Alton.
It's
interesting because you helped create the chairman and, of course, the writers.
Yes.
And, you know, we all have a little bit of, you know, we're collaborating on creating this character.
Have you gotten any acting jobs based at all on people liking the chairman?
That's a good question.
Because your other personas are very different.
Yeah.
You know, you play heavies very well.
Thank you.
Very deftly. And of course, things that require fighting. But I just, one of these days, you're going to get hired for this.
Thank you.
I think could.
Thank you, Alton. You know, I'm sure it's helped because so many directors and producers love the Food Network and food shows, mm-hmm. and especially Iron Chef America.
Sure.
So I'm sure that must help.
It's got to be a mitigating
factor. I mean, our executive producer of Hawaii Five-0 mm-hmm. knows Iron Chef America. Daniel Day Kim, mm-hmm. Whom you know,
yep.
Is a foodie and loves the show and, you know, wanted to be a judge on the show.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I remember.
Yeah. So I would say that, yes, I probably have gotten jobs because of this show and the character.
I think that that's fascinating because, and what I would hope is that you start getting more comedic roles because you've got the timing that is necessary for that.
You
know, and not that I don't like your heavies and you've got the look of that, but man, I would love to see you just play some comedy. I mean, that would be awesome.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's always a treat to come back here because, you know, once every 11 or 12 months, we're here for 2 or 3 weeks and it's a crazy schedule. We know that.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking, you know, nothing lasts forever. And I try to keep myself in that moment because what a fantastic adventure and life experience I've been given. I feel so fortunate to be working with you and the people that are involved with this show. And you can see, I mean that from the heart.
I believe you from the heart.
Thank you, Alton. Because, you know, coming from where I came from, there were many times in my life where I would only eat 2 or 3 times a week, like one meal.
And that was because?
That was because when I was 17, I had the aspirations of becoming a Buddhist monk. So I left, I grew up in Germany, Hamburg,
yes.
Germany. And I left Germany at 17 to go to Taipei, Taiwan. I studied the Mandarin language and martial arts. And my romanticized idea was to become a Shaolin monk like Jet Li in the movie The Shaolin Temple. Yeah.
Sure.
And so there I was teaching conversational German and English to make money to pay for my rent, to pay for my Chinese school and Kung Fu lessons. And after I paid for those three things, I had very little money to eat. And so on the days that I would take the bus, I wouldn't eat. And on the days that I would eat, I would walk a really long way.
So it really came down to bus, eat.
Bus, eat, bus, eat. Yeah. Yeah, and if I was really tired, I'd take the bus and I'd eat. And if I was really hungry, then I'd maybe eat 2 days in a row. But that meant that I probably wouldn't eat for a couple of days.
And then what did you eat? When you did eat in those days, what did you eat?
All street food because it was very, very inexpensive. $1 to $1.50, I could have noodles and maybe an egg if I had the extra money. Some sliced pork, but it was usually like pork fat.
Mm-hmm. Which you probably needed
badly. Which I needed
badly.
For the training, yes.
Yeah.
Cha su bao, you know, the baos. Yeah, any street food. I probably ate some things that I wouldn't choose to eat now, but I can't remember. When you're that hungry.
Look, when you're hungry and young.
When you're hungry, you do what you have to do. Yeah. So for me to now, all these years later, sit at a table where I'm being taken care of, eating 10 to 20 meals, 10 to 20 courses a day, depending on if we do one or two shows, and getting paid for that in a studio, you know, with truffles and champagne, you know, there's not one day that I sit down there and I think to myself where I came from. It's been a crazy life, Alton.
It must sometimes seem a bit silly, though, all the food. I mean, you've seen people starve, you've
yes.
seen a lot of human conditioning to see
yes.
people, because I often look at it all and think, oh my gosh, what are we doing fussing over all of
right,
this?
Right.
It's, you know, and my wife, who you've met, and
yes.
is not really a foodie.
Right.
Well, sometimes just, you know, it's just eating. It's just food. We forget about that the real gift of dining is the being together.
Yes.
And the hospitality of sharing something. And now we focus so much on the food and so much on the ingredients. Do you sometimes think, man, this is just kind of out of whack?
You know,
because I admit that I do.
Yeah. Sometimes I do, but I think that on pretty much everything, you know, I think everything is a little out of whack sometimes, you know, but on the other hand, I would much rather have my kids watch this show or shows on the Food Network with food and intelligent people than maybe some of the movies I make.
Well, they're still young for some of the movies that you've made. But I mean, you are a father of three. I mean, we're both dads, and we both have to be. I know that I'm always thinking, especially with a girl, I worry about, you know, popular culture and relationship with food, and it's so tough to be a female in this day and age. And I don't know if you're at that point yet where you kind of have some angst about that.
I do. You know, I have two boys and a daughter, so I worry about a lot of those things. But real quick, back to the food.
Yep.
You know, the great thing about this is it does kind of highlight or put to the forefront the quality as opposed to the quantity, which is, I think, a really good thing. You know,
because I never see you eat more than about a bite and a half.
Well, you know,
but you can. You eat 20 dishes in a day.
Exactly.
What are you going
to
do?
You know, even if I love it, I just try to have one or two bites. But I think, you know, it's much better in everything to have quality over quantity, you know, and I think that's kind of like a subtle message in what the Iron Chefs are doing, you know, have a little bit of something really great than too much of something that's just not good. Yeah.
Which is what a great majority of Americans default to.
Unfortunately. But hopefully our culture's coming back around. I think we're learning, you know, just health-wise, we know that a little prevention will save lives and a lot of money.
Well, I think that a lot of the problems of food come out of people's lives being woefully out of balance.
Yeah.
And trying to fill themselves in ways that they're not getting filled in other. I mean,
it's true.
I mean.
Absolutely.
Being out of balance. I'm sure that's something that, I mean, coming from the martial arts discipline that you have, you've seen people battle that in other ways, I'm sure.
Yes.
I mean, you also can't fill your life with beating the crap out of people.
No.
Because you've lived that too.
I have. I fought competitively for 11 years. But, you know, I think about, from the age of 7 until 18, I fought nearly every weekend. And, you know, when I was almost 15 years old, my father put me on his senior team. So
you were really too young for that, though, at that point, weren't you? Right on the cusp of being too young.
I was right on the cusp, yeah. But he thought I could handle it, and I suppose I could because, you know, I didn't get beaten too bad. But it was scary because these guys were 6'3", 6'4", big, tall, strong German men. And I was smaller than I am now, skinnier and wiry. But it was kind of a rites of passage, I guess. I felt like, you know, I always loved the David and Goliath story, and that's what I felt like every single time. I said, Dad, the guys are really big. He goes, well, just don't get hit. Okay.
Thanks, Dad.
You know? So I felt like a PT boat, you know, going around the cruiser or, a mosquito on an adrenaline high because I had to just hit and run, you know? But this is the interesting thing about martial arts for me. I love the aspect of fighting. I think it's physical chess. But I've never enjoyed, nor do I now, enjoy hurting anybody. And nor do I want to get hurt. So some of my best sessions are when I spar with my friends and we know each other and we can go hard and fast, but not hurt each other. You know, it's beautiful. You know, when you toughen your body and you get used to it, you can train and not get injured or injure somebody else. And that's I love that. And I love the art of martial arts. I love the precision and the focus. I love the discipline, just the training itself. I never kept, and I won a lot of tournaments, but I never kept one trophy because it wasn't so much the trophy, it was the training. More than the tournaments. I love the training, and I still train. To this day, I still train martial arts.
If somebody told you right now that you would not actually fight again, how would you feel about that? You could train all you wanted, but you aren't actually going to be in hand-to-hand combat with a human being ever again.
Probably very grateful and thankful and happy, you know, in terms of like street fighting. I've never liked that anyway. You know, I always look at martial arts or the actual, the skills. I look at it like my father told me. It's like car insurance. You have it, but you never have to want to use it.
And your rates go up if you do.
And your rates go up if they do, yeah, you know? So I love the training, but I've never liked hurting. Like I said, I've never liked hurting anybody, and I don't want to get there. You know, ideally, you never put yourself in a position where you have to use it, you know, or you talk or walk your way out of it. That is just a last resort. But in terms of training, I love training.
Training's where it's at.
Yeah, that's where.
And how often do you train now? With as many projects as you have going, and as much as you travel,
you
spend a huge amount of time in the East. In Russia, in the stands.
Yes, yes.
How do you possibly keep up your regiment moving around the way you do?
Okay, well, when I'm back in town, I train with my. Right now, I'm practicing Muay Thai, so I work with my teacher two or three
times
a
week. Which is extremely physical stuff.
It's very,
and a very different movement discipline, isn't it?
It is. It's a. It's from Thailand, incorporates Western boxing, lots of power round kicks, knees, and elbow strikes. And it's full force, very little retraction. It's like, I equate their round kick to a baseball bat swing. It just goes full on, and if you miss, you just go all the way around. But I do that two or three times a week, and I'll train 60 to 75 minutes one-on-one or with my sparring partner and my teacher. And then when I'm on location, I always bring my yoga mat and my running shoes. So I do sprints and a little bit of longer runs. When I'm staying here in New York, I like to stay between the 8th and 10th floor. And yes, exactly, I walk the stairs. I think I've at this hotel, and I've been staying there for many, many years, I've maybe used the elevator two times, possibly three, you know? But the great thing is, if I go up to my room three times, that's 30 flights of floors.
30 flights of stairs.
Yeah, 30 flights of stairs. So, you know, I try to be practical.
But this leads me to another question, which I know how old you are. You're coming up on 50. Yeah. Do you feel it yet?
I feel it in my eyes, you know, because I know that my vision, you know, going from looking at something long distance to short distance, it takes, you know, like maybe a half a second to adjust. And before it was just instant.
Boom, boom.
Yes. And now I'm going, wow, that's what it is. Or going, you know, vice versa. So I feel it there. I notice that if I have a bruise or a cut, it takes a little longer to heal there as well. You know, remember when you were a teenager, the next day or 2 days later, it's gone, right?
Like, wow, you rubbed it. It was gone.
Yeah. Ooh. So that takes longer. In terms of the actual sparring, probably yes. Yes, I do. Not because I notice it, but I see it when it's in playback. I think I'm going really fast and hard, and then I'll see a piece of footage, of what I just did, and I go, oh, was I in slow-mo or something?
You know? So you think it's a speed thing? You're slowing down just a hair?
Yeah, I think I am. Or maybe I just thought I was a lot faster than I really am, which is probably the case.
There we go. You actually haven't slowed down at all.
I watched too many movies and thought I was really that good.
Where they speed everything up just a little bit.
Could be. Who knows?
Well, you know, 50, my eyes changed when I was about 45, where I wear bifocals, and I have for years. But I had been in really bad shape up to my mid-40s and then got in better shape, and now I'm faster and stronger, but...
Okay. May I say something about you and your physicality and your fitness? You look great. I'm going to say it anyway. You look fantastic.
I work out hard. I wish that I had started younger.
Well, you did it. You did it. And I mean, like, from 1 year... You're welcome. From 1 year to the next, you came back as an athlete.
I'd like to think so. I think that getting the athlete mindset is really important.
Holy smokes. I mean, it's good. It's amazing. So... congratulations, Alton, because it takes a lot of discipline. And I know you are busy and you've got tons of things going on too. But my guess, the discipline that you have in your life with work and with your family and just how intelligent you are, I can't imagine it being too difficult for you to make that transition or adding that aspect into your life. Am I wrong?
I don't know. It came from my kid.
Yeah.
Because I want to set a better example for my kid. And my kid actually, I find, sets a better example for me.
Fantastic.
Which I think counts a lot. Yeah. And on top of that, I feel like I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to drop dead when I'm 65 or whatever. I'd like to keep holding on to this for a little while longer, you know? But
well, you look great. You look great.
What do you see yourself doing in 10 years? What is a guy like you? You're an actor. You're a writer. You got a lot of things in the fire. But as you refine your life and move towards what you really feel you ought to be doing. And I think that life is kind of a matter of refinement. We're always getting ourselves, distilling ourselves what it is that we ought to be doing. What is that for you?
I think it's writing and directing. I think so. Because when I was young, there were two things that I wanted to do and be. My first choice was a monk and, you know, marrying a Texas girl, eating meat, and having three kids.
Cuts into that.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, you know?
Yeah. It's probably more fun than being a monk, too. Now that you've got that, I think you find it's more enjoyable.
I concur. And the second thing was to be a writer. And, you know, I find that it's like the older I get, I become more opinionated.
And you should,
And there are certain stories I want to tell in the way I want to tell them. Acting was not... was never in my thoughts.
No, you were discovered, so to speak.
I was discovered.
Right off the street.
Yeah, literally right off the street.
You didn't pursue it is all I mean.
No, I did not. And of course, once in it, I've tried to be the best I possibly can be, but I didn't go to a performing arts high school. I didn't have formal training. All of my training, I still have training. Right after we wrap this session of Iron Chef America, the next day, I go into a four-day Shakespeare workshop with Patsy Rodenberg.
Wow.
And she's been my teacher for the last 8 years, and she's from London, Royal Shakespeare Company, and she's the head of voice at the Guildhall, and she's fantastic.
That's pretty hardcore.
It's hardcore, but I love it.
Training.
It's training. And see, you've been very inspiring because I know that you have a drama background and culinary school. I mean, fantastic. So I love being around people like you because you feed me. You inspire me. I want to be better.
Well, I think that the great thing about jobs like we have here, you know, we get together for a few weeks every summer and do Iron Chef America. It's kind of like a workshop in a way.
It is.
Because we get to spend time with people we don't ordinarily get to spend time with, absorb different things and different ideas, which is one of the great things about having a job that, you know, doesn't stick you in a cubicle 8 hours a day until, until you retire. Shakespeare. Are you a Shakespeare fan?
I am a huge Shakespeare fan, and I love Hamlet and Henry V. And every time I look at you, you remind me of like a Hamlet.
I don't know if I could. I'm too old for Hamlet now. But did you by chance catch Alan Cumming's One Man Macbeth?
I saw it a week ago. Amazing.
Yeah, I saw it too. I got in a day early so I could go. I saw the last performance, the last Sunday performance.
It was great.
Blown away.
Yeah.
I've been in that play. I've watched maybe 20 productions of that play. He made it funny where it's never been funny.
Yeah.
He made it scary where it's never been scary. Yeah. And he completely pulled off the roles. What a physical role.
Physical
he did most
role.
Of the show in his underwear.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And it was mesmerizing.
Right. Yeah.
Mesmerizing.
He was fantastic. The subtlety.
Little.
And his voice.
Bitty things.
Changes in his voice. Fantastic.
Or just the shift of as he changed characters. Yeah. And for those of you that didn't see it, sorry. You should have. but he would make very, very small changes in physicality as he changed characters back and forth. Sometimes four people in a conversation at one time.
Amazing.
It was amazing. And
simply
the staging
amazing.
was spectacular.
He was great.
I couldn't talk for about an hour afterwards because I was just... But you know what? It's so wonderful to occasionally see something that hits the reset button for you. That makes you realize, holy smokes, I'm a little bitty man. Yeah. I got nothing on to be that inspired and that moved by a performance. But you know,
fantastic.
Shakespeare's always great for that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Shakespeare's great for that.
I love it. I love it. And I hope that I never stop training, you know, not in acting and not in martial arts. And, you know, you were saying how Zoe kind of got you to be more fit. Mm-hmm. With my three kids, too, they teach me so much. And, I mean, all three are so different. And, you know, you learn from your kids.
You learn. You absolutely. The children are the teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
which is why I stopped with one.
Yeah.
I didn't want as many teachers as you have.
Smart man.
But your kids are all so different.
They are. But you know, Alten, it's, you know, we're blessed. We're blessed and it's fun.
Healthy kids.
Healthy.
Which I think sometimes is all I should really even care about in the end. Your kids are healthy and everything else can fall off the planet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we're lucky. We've got good ladies behind us or in front of us.
Sometimes they're pulling, sometimes they're pushing. So one more question about performing.
Yes, sir.
Shakespeare means theater.
Yes.
So.
I would love to.
Why have you not yet?
Busy working on TV and movies and, you know, taking care of life.
Don't you want to know if you could do it? Theater.
I do.
Come on, man.
I do. And I was offered The King and I last year, and I couldn't do it because I was working on a movie. I know. But if it comes around again, I would jump at the possibility and the chance and the opportunity to do that. Yes. I would love it.
Well, theater gets in you, and you can't shake it.
Oh, my goodness. I've been doing improv for the last 5 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, did three shows at the Growlings Theater on Melrose.
Well, that's theater.
Yes, working on a one-man show, and I've done maybe 10 or 12 workshops where you're up on stage 30 minutes. And Gary Austin is the founder of the Growlings. He's my teacher.
Yes, I know who the Growlings are, but I haven't met him before. But.
And it's 30 minutes, and it's solo. You're just going off, and I love it. I mean, tell you the truth, Alton, that has kept me going. The theater has kept me going.
So if you could move into a phase of your life
where
someone said, okay, Mark Dacascos is going to come and play this role, we'll say the King or I or whatever, and you're going to do 20 weeks on London's West End or
Sign
some place.
Me. Yeah. Sign me. Absolutely.
The next phase then. It's funny, a little theater in the town that I live in north of Atlanta. It was a very profitable theater, but they had some management problems, and it shut down, and it's empty now, and it's right off the little town square where I live in. And every time I go by it, I think, you know.
Oh, yes.
Could reopen that.
Start doing
Shakespeare in that theater with, like, community people.
I mean, you know you have it, and you've done it, so.
Oh. Money hole, dude, though.
Oh, yeah.
Tough
money
hole.
It is difficult, yeah.
Well, if you do The King and I, I'm so absolutely there.
Thank you, Alton.
However, can you actually dance? Because you got some history. You got some dance history, Mark. I don't want to bring this up.
You know what? I feel like I could do it.
I think you probably could.
I feel like I could do it.
Dancing with the Stars notwithstanding.
Thank you.
You got hosed on that, by the way. I think we all know.
I appreciate it.
There was something going on that.
I appreciate it. It's a show, right?
Yeah, it's a TV show, and we know how those work. All right, well, I'm going to let you go because we got to do another battle, ladies
Thank
and gentlemen.
You,
but it's been a real joy talking to you.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Alton.
Very, very much. Right, food fans, that's all I got for you today. The Alton Brown cast is pretty much done here. And I want to thank especially my friend Mark Dacascos for coming on the show and giving you just kind of a glimpse into what his world's like. Fascinating guy. All right, America, in the meantime, or at least until next time, cook smart.